You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
And Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard on the web at www.sitamedia.com.
Oh, CDMediaInc.com, yes. And also 1510 WWBC on the radio station.
Right. And for all my friends who are listening and new people who have joined Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, my name is Sita Biggie. I don't say it enough, I was told. And every Monday, Ellen Little, myself, and Paul, we're in the studio greeting and meeting with new people in our studio to talk about things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida. We talk about kitchen table topics, things happening around the world, and what we are doing to make our world a better place, to promote good thoughts and good words and good actions, not just one day a week or a few days a week, but year-round. And I'm always happy and blessed to say that I get the best guest to come on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Without a doubt.
Right.
Without a doubt. And today is no different.
It's not. And you know what? I just want to tell our listeners that I got in this morning from Costa Rica at 12:38 this morning. And on the way from the airport on 5:28, of course, you had to have that light in the car. The emergency light says tire pressure is low.
Oh, geez.
And here I am driving, and I had this flashback of driving once, and I was driving on my rim because I did not pay attention to stop the car and get. So I figured I'll get off at 5:20. So I veered off on 5:20, and then there was so much heavy vehicle and equipment there paving the road or doing something. I'm like, oh my God, this is too dark. I got back on 5:28. And I drove, I said my prayers. I said, Lord, I'm making a pact with you. Get me to Wickham Road. So I got to Wickham and I pulled off into this well-lit gas station at around 12:26. And this nice gentleman helped me to put the air in the tire. But it's nervous driving by yourself that time in the night, you know?
Of course. And then you have a little faith in human nature and it pays off.
Yeah. And he said, oh, lady, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you.
Nice.
So he did. And I gave him $5 just... Yeah, figured I'll buy something.
Yeah.
But so I went to Costa Rica for a wedding, and it was wonderful. I had some mojitos. I rocked in a hammock. I read two books. We went in the pool. We danced. We breathed in all that great oxygen. And boy, those people in Costa Rica, they really care about the environment.
Yes.
That's the first thing you see in the airport about recycling and saving our planet. And our driver that picked us up in the airport, he spoke a lot about the land and giving back to the land and how people, they plant and they don't waste a lot of products. They try not to use plastic a lot and single-use containers, right, and things. And so he was telling us about the people and giving us a feel for how they live. And, you know, they're very family-oriented. Mm-hmm. They love each other. They care about people. The guy was telling us, if you have a family member who's down on his luck and not doing very well, oftentimes another family member, whether it's a cousin or an extended relative, will step up to the plate and help that person out, give him a piece of land, show him how to farm. They teach him, you know. So I thought that was really nice. And he stopped and we got some fresh mangoes and, you know, so it was nice. I got away from politics for a while until I ran into some moderate people like myself and started chatting. A lot of Americans in Costa Rica, and They like to go to the bars and have a Corona, and then we started talking about the coronavirus, and before you know it, we're into politics and China and trade and everything else. I'm like, oh, God.
And there goes the bunny trail.
I know. But it was a good trip. So it's good to recharge and come back, and you're energized.
And great pictures on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah, so I tried to
put... You in the hammock.
Yeah, that was right. And so today, of course, we've got a really action-packed show. In studio, we have Jennifer Reeves, and she is a community resource manager for Echo Connects. So welcome to the show.
Hi, Sita. Thank you.
And you know, Ellen, my good friends were going to drive in and meet us from Miami. My friend Madeline Thakur, I could say that really well because it's an Indian name. She is the chief of staff at the Children's Movement of Florida. And she oversees operations and statewide policy. And then also, she's joined by Garrett Van Lett. And Garrett is the movement's outreach efforts. He does all the efforts to reach people all across the state to talk and hear about the children's movement and what they're doing to help so many children in the state of Florida and families. And, you know, while researching... I came across a figure that almost 339,000 children in Florida does not have health insurance. Yeah. And these great guys, Madeline and Garrett, they do so much for the children's movement. I know they're online. Yes. They're online. They're called in to chat with us. And so we're going to say hello and open up our show with both of them. So I heard you're both on one line that you can somehow connect to our phones.
Yes, we are here. Good afternoon, Sita. Really nice to hear your voice. This is Madeline down in Miami, and Garrett has joined us. He's based in Tampa.
Oh, great.
Yeah, hey.
Well, we were hoping to see you guys, but I'm sure we'll have you on the show another time when you're here in Brevard and you could come in person. So, Madeline, so tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get started with the children's movement?
Sure. So I got started with the children's movement about 2.5 years ago now, and that was after I spent 10 years working in Latin American policy for a business council down here in Miami. And really what I was looking for was a chance to contribute more locally. I think I just heard you talking about Costa Rica and the conscientiousness about the land, the family-oriented nature. I was really inspired by a lot of what I saw in my time in Latin America and realized I was drawn to working with businesses on their corporate social responsibility and education initiatives specifically. And although I had studied international affairs, I am from Florida originally and wanted to make an impact more close to home.
Yeah, you do find in those countries it's more like a shared human experience. It's more like a responsibility for each other.
Right. In Colombia, for example, Colombia in South America, there is a law written into the Constitution that they need to spend a certain amount on children before they enter school in the 0 to 5 years. You know, they have to focus on early learning. They have to focus on children's health care. And it is just, it's part of the ethos. And so those kinds of things are really interesting. But then if going to our work at the children's movement, when people ask me what we do, I usually answer that we are baby lobbyists.
Oh, and you know what? And that explains it. So Garrett, I want to introduce you to our listening audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends as well. So tell us, how did you get involved? Because you're very young, and you know what? You have the experience of so many people on your shoulders. It's awesome to see such a young man taking an interest, not in yourself and being selfish, but giving back so much to the state of Florida and our children.
Sita, I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here, and also thank you to the Joint Chiropractic for sponsoring us today. My name is Garrett. You know, growing up, my father really instilled, you gotta think about the future of your state, about your own life, about the community. And I really thought to myself, I was like, what's the one thing that can impact the big picture? And I thought about children, right? Because, I mean, you can't have the future of our economy or our state or even our environment without thinking of the generation who become the stewards of those things. So in college, I went to school, but I also worked really hard for internships, for nonprofits. I was doing lobbying back when I was in college for childhood issues because I knew that was how I'd make it. I'm so blessed to be a part of the Children's Movement of Florida. This is a great organization to work for because every day I work close to my dreams of making an impact, and the work we do is great, and I'm really so excited to talk about today with you. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and I think it's very important that all of us understand that we can't focus on developing only one part of the child without paying attention to other capacities, without paying attention to the family, to the structure, to the needs of the child, and, you know, what does that child need until he or she is 18, and prepare them for either college or vocational or trade or whatever it is. And that's something that you guys do that I think is really, really interesting and so important to get out to our audience today. So Madeline, can you tell our audience what exactly is the Children's Movement of Florida?
Sure. So we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan group of Floridians who care about the 0 to 5 years. So we understand that if we get it right in those early years, if we get children access to health insurance and the preventive care they need, if we give them access to high-quality educational child care, something that's not babysitting, but where you're really working with a child, back-and-forth interaction, things that help to build the brain, and if we make sure that parents are supported to be their best for their children, you've probably heard before they say parents are the first and best teacher for their child. We want all of those pieces in place because we know that we will all be better off. And so I mentioned earlier, I always say that we're baby lobbyists. So we don't take any state funding. We advocate in Tallahassee and is on behalf of children, trying to get more resources into those early years and legislation in place that makes sure you've got high quality when you're thinking about what young children need. And a big piece of our work, in addition to the advocacy in Tallahassee, is just spreading the message of what we know about the early years and the role that we all have to play. You may have heard the statistic before that 80% of brain growth occurs before the age of 3. I think the better way to look at it is you've got in the 0 to 3 years, 1 million new neural connections forming every second in that child's brain. This is a time when you are learning a tremendous amount, when you can set the stage for success in life, and you don't want to miss that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, I just read, as I was preparing for the show, I read this morning that in Finland, they just announced a new policy that will grant nearly 7 months of paid leave to each parent, which totals about 14 months of paid leave, because they are also thinking about the health, the education, and parental support for children. So here in Florida, unfortunately, not every parent could stay home with a child. People need to work to pay their bills and insurance and car payment and everything that goes with trying to stay alive in this big bad world, right? So Garrett, to tell me, and what are you guys working now with the Florida legislature now that it's in session?
Well, Madeline's the real expert there. I'll let her take this one. She knows.
Okay, Madeline. Madeline, isn't that wonderful that you are the expert and he's acknowledging that? Although he could tell us, but go ahead and tell us, because we know that session is open, and I've been seeing on Facebook what things Anna Ishkamani and all her friends are working on there. So what are you trying to advocate for now in this session?
Well, this is a critical year for early learning legislation in Florida, and what we are looking at most closely is we've got a great chance to change the way we measure quality in our preschools. Florida right now is one of only 4 states in the country that has free preschool for every 4-year-old in the state, but as it stands now, only about 53% of Florida's children are deemed, quote-unquote, ready to start kindergarten. And what we want to do is take the pressure off of students who right now, these 5-year-olds, are taking an assessment when they enter kindergarten to show what they know, and that's reflecting back on their preschool. We think it is a lot more effective to put the weight on measures of growth, you know, what did they learn during their preschool year, and on observations of teacher-child interactions. Again, that's the way young child's brains are built, is going back and forth. Call it baby ping pong if you want. Call it serve and return if that tennis analogy makes sense. But you've got to go back and forth to build the brain. And so thinking about how teachers do that, rather than trying to drill children on their letters and numbers earlier on in life, is really the way to do it. So we have House Bill 1013 sponsored by Representative Grawl, who's a little bit south of you all in Indian River, and Senator Gail Harrell has the Senate Companion 1688, and she's down in Martin County. So they are looking to make some of these changes to the pre-K program and how we measure it so that we are prioritizing the best teaching practices.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, as a parent myself, and I forgot to ask Jennifer if she's a parent as well. Are you?
Yes.
Yes, yes. We're just nodding our heads as you speak because, you know, the future of the prosperity, not just for Florida, but for the entire world, depends on the ability of parents to foster healthy children in all aspects of their life, right? So maybe Garrett could jump in here. What does it mean when we say that we need the local community to get behind the Florida the children's movement?
Yeah, so the work of the movement impacts every community in the state because kindergarten readiness is something that every child goes through when they enter our K-12 system. So just some local examples. Over in Cocoa, you have Endeavor Elementary School, which I understand Endeavor Elementary School has been a hot-button issue for the community, and things are getting better there. But it's in a community in which only 30% of the students who enter that school are deemed kindergarten ready. And then later on down the line, you have 27% of students at that school that are reading at a third grade level. So if you have a student that comes into the system that is not ready, you see later on, it's very, very hard to get those students to catch up to their peers. And not only Endeavor, but, you know, with Saturn Elementary School, in which 35% of children enter the school are ready for kindergarten. That's 38 students out of 110 students in their kindergarten class in 2018. And then later on, you have a 45% of students are reading at third grade level. So people think that the K-12 system is a great equalizer in our society, but the children's movement is trying to just tell everyone that it happens earlier than that. It happens when they first get into that pre-K, quality pre-K program that gets them ready to go to school. So when Madeleine talks about statewide legislation that increases the quality of pre-kindergarten programs, that impacts every school district, including your own. And then if we get quality right early on, we'll see those third grade reading scores and later on those fifth grade, sixth grade high school graduation rates to improve because it all focuses on how the child is developed and what happens before they get to school. So that's sort of how, you know, our work impacts your community as well as every community around the state.
Right. And I think, you know, oftentimes we hear a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on a woman when she's pregnant. You know, we want a healthy child, we want the children to be born, but then what? So I think one of the things all of us here on Viewpoint with Sita and friends and people in our community, we can concentrate on is knowing that great parents just don't happen. They're helped somehow. They're given the assistance, whether it's from other parents or the community or business or someone that holds them by the hands and says, you know, having a child doesn't come with a handbook. This is how we're going to help. And that's one of the things that I like what the children's movement is doing. You all are so focused this year on partnering with other businesses that would promote business-friendly practices to hold that parent by the hand, whether it's a single parent or two parents in a home, or maybe it's a grandmother or somebody that's raising that child to say, now that the child is here, this is how we can help you. So tell us a little bit more about your family-friendly business promotions.
Yeah, so the movement has partnered with the Florida Chamber of Commerce to help raise kindergarten readiness rates across the state. And to do this, like you said, it's about the whole community. We need to look at the big picture, and it's hard for working families to balance their lives and ensure their child's ready for kindergarten and make enough income just to live. And at the same time, businesses are looking to hire and retain quality employees. There's a link there. Family-friendly business practices, from big things like paid maternal and paternal leave to even small things like keeping a dialogue with employees about their child care needs, these things can help retain employees and support families. So, you know, we're working, and I'm sure Madeleine can talk about a little more of this, we're launching a campaign called Bosses for Babies, in which we're looking for businesses to come to the movement, to come into our fold, to hear our message and to spread the word. And I'll let Madeline talk a little bit about that. Do you have anything you want to say about that, Madeline?
Yeah, sure. I think the thing I would say is, Sita, you mentioned Finland, and certainly that is ideal. I mean, I'm the mother of an 18-month-old, and I took 7 weeks off, not 7 months, when he was born. And it is a challenge that a lot of new mothers face. So Garrett mentions maternal or paternal leave is one way that businesses can show appreciation and understanding for families. But it's not just the big things, it's also the little things. If you walk into our office on any given day, you might see at 3 or 4 o'clock children doing their homework in our conference room. And that's because we allow parents to go pick up their children from school and bring them back to the office. We'd rather keep you as a full-time employee contributing to our organization and the work we're doing than have you say, I can't afford full-time work because I have no one to take care of my child.
Right. And those are small things. Those are small things people can do, businesses can do.
Yes. And so we are developing a toolkit and resources we'll share that help businesses start the conversation with their employees about what are some small things and what are some big things if we want to do that, that we can do for our own employees. But then also thinking about if you want to make an investment in your community as a business and you're interested in education, you can think beyond the elementary school and go down to take a look at the early learning centers in your community. You know, that's where education begins, and they're not often receiving the same resources as the elementary schools that are more commonly thought of.
Well, you know, I recently we had a situation where a friend of mine had to take her little boy to school. She is a single mom. His father is still in the country where she was born. And she got to work late, and her coworkers were very upset because she was 20 minutes late. And I kind of said to another person who worked there that I know, I said, you know, how about if the persons who work the night shift who don't have children, ask them, talk to somebody in HR and ask them, can you stay over 20 minutes so I can take my little boy to school, because it calms him down when I drop him off and I get those extra minutes in the car to speak with him about how his day is going to be and how he should behave and what should happen in preschool. And, you know, I think I summed it up this way. There are some people that care and put value on other people's lives and their children's lives, and there's some people that don't. And I think that's a role that as human beings, as we're older, we should be asking these conversations of people that we work with, that if you're younger and you have children who are so young, 10 minutes for an older person in their 40s or 50s is not going to make or break us. But for that young mom dropping off that child, that's a huge difference. I would think you would agree with that.
Yeah, I think the important thing in your example is that it depends on your employees. We're not going to tell any business which family-friendly policy they should adopt. What we're looking to encourage is a conversation so that you can say, oh, you know, I actually didn't even know you had a preschooler. I didn't realize what 20 minutes would mean to you. But since we've had that conversation, now I know. And we can either make arrangements with your colleagues or create some new policy. But if we're all going to work every day pretending we don't have families, it's not going to be as productive. We're
That's
not going
right.
to be as present as employees, and we're losing a lot of opportunities for our society and for our economy.
So, Madeline, we have a few minutes left, and I think Ellen, my co-host, is busy putting stuff up on our website as well as she listens. She's got dogs. Yeah, and she's got lots of nieces and nephews, but she's never had to, I'm not sure, have you had to drop somebody off to preschool?
Oh, lots of times.
Lots
yeah.
of times she's
oh,
helped
times,
out. Yeah. So she understands what we're talking about. So before we close the segment off, give us the website if somebody wanted to go and look up the children's movement.
Yes, it is a very long URL, but it is a simple one, www.childrensmovementflorida.org.
Okay, Paul just told me we have another 3 minutes, so I'm going to ask you quickly, Madeline, how has the movement changed your own policies and practices? And then we'll have one more question for Garrett after that.
Okay, great. Well, I mentioned earlier that we are allowing employees to bring their children if they need to in the afternoons. I think the policy I am most proud of is changing our maternity leave policy. We found, I had my son, like I mentioned, when I was at the movement, and I took 7 weeks off. That policy didn't exist before. We know it's part of our values that we want families to be supported, and we realized that we weren't offering that to our employees. So we doubled the amount of leave that we're giving, and we're now offering 3 months of paid leave for mothers. And one of my colleagues is actually out on leave right now with her baby daughter. But that's something that was really important to our staff, and to set that from the top.
So you're living by example, right? That's what you're doing. You're setting the example. So, Garrett, what else can local businesses do to get involved with the children's movement and try to promote family-friendly policies? I think we've lost Garrett somehow. That's okay. But you know what? Madeline, are you still there?
I am here.
Yeah, I think we lost Garrett. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry he's gone, but I'd say businesses can sign up for our Bosses for Babies campaign, and that's something, if you follow us on social media and look at the website I mentioned, we'll be launching this in the next couple of weeks. But we are asking businesses, again, to start the conversation with their employees, to consider giving or volunteering in local early learning centers, to change their policies, and to advocate on behalf of children's issues. And this last one, it's not that we're asking you to become experts and do all the work to call up your legislators and let them know what you want to see. The Florida Chamber actually has a Business Alliance for Early Learning, and what we're looking to do is build up that group, have more businesses join up in that effort so that we'll have critical mass to advocate in Tallahassee. And so those are a few of the things that businesses can do, and stay tuned for the full launch of this Bosses for Babies campaign in the next few weeks.
Right. And you know, Madeline, the thing is, of course, one of the most important things with raising children too is family. If you have a good family structure and you have in-laws and extended families, they can also help, but not everyone have that choice. And I think even when I look at my family and I see how important it was to have grandparents involved and cousins and aunties and people just coming together to celebrate not just the woman being pregnant, but the actual product of that pregnancy, because everybody cares about what happens to the child. And you know, you're married to an Indian fellow, so you know how we helicopter our children. But I'd like to see that for more people, because, I mean, we made a big deal when the kid got a tooth. We made a big deal when we changed the first diaper. We made a big deal when we got hair on the head, you know. But the thing is, not all children are loved in that way that everybody fusses over them, you know.
And we think that all parents love their children. They just do not all share the same level of resources. And the more we as a society can look to support families, I think the better off all our children will be.
Well, thank you for taking the time to call in. I'm sure my friend Garrett somehow dropped the phone, which is fine. But we'd love to have you guys back on Viewpoint with Sita and friends. And thank you for sharing what advocacy work you all are doing in Tallahassee on behalf of Florida's children.
Well, and we've posted all of that on our website. So thank you so much for the great information. Children'sMovementFlorida.org. And listen, we're going to be right back after we hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and friends.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love. From Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. free no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Cedar Begee, and boy, we cut that music right out so we could give Jennifer Reeves all that time. I'm still like in a traveling, non-traveling mode. You know, like I'm home, but I'm not really here because I'm tired. But I had to make our show today. Yes. It's called Jet Lag, yeah. Right?
You're doing good.
I think you think?
And you educated us on a brand new, who knew about the children's... movement.
Well, you know, I put it into practice, like I told you, quite a few times, and it works. Yeah. Right? Just, it's amazing when you open your mouth and talk to people and communicate how great it is. Exactly. You learn so much.
And we all learned something.
Right.
We all learned about a new program. We all learned about new advocates that are helping us out in Miami and Tallahassee in support of parent help.
They're young, so they have a lot of experience in their young lives to share with us older people, and we have a lot of experience to share with them as well. So it's wonderful when people come together like that, yeah, and try to help the children and the parents and do something to help children get educated. That's right. Right? And so
we love what Eckerd Connects does as well.
Yes, I know. Our second segment is not, our friend Stanley couldn't make it, but Jennifer is here. Jennifer Reeves is here, and you are the community resources manager for Eckerd Connects. You know, they used to be called Eckerd Kids before. And now it's Eckerd Connects because they connect people to so many resources in the community.
Yes. That's
so welcome
right.
to our show, and tell us how you got started with Eckerd yes. Connects.
Well, thank you for having me, Sita. So I've actually been with Eckerd Connects about three and a half years now. I actually started in social services with Career Source Brevard. I was a career counselor there for people that were in the SNAP, which is the food stamp program, and the TANF, which is the cash assistance program. So I was helping them return back to employment with their programs. But then, you know, I just felt like I wanted to be more focused with families and helping families with children. And so I was called to Eckerd Connects.
I bet it's heartbreaking what you saw with people. I mean, it's a dignity thing, right? We're humans, and people, they do have value on their lives, and they want to live a life that's worth something. But yet still, they have to come there and ask a caseworker for assistance. I bet you saw a lot.
I did. There was a lot of different stories, you know, a lot of things happened to families and individuals that were actually not even in their control, which can happen to anyone at any given moment. Sudden divorce, sudden job loss, medical setback, disability, you know, a lot of things like that that really you can't tell if it's going to happen or not. And a lot of my customers had things like that happen to them.
Right.
And there's even the working poor. There's even people that are out there working one and two jobs and still struggling.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you probably saw a lot of children that were experiencing hardships where they didn't have lunch money for lunches.
Right. I remember I had one family come through that was receiving temporary cash assistance, and they were experiencing homelessness. They were living in a hotel, and it was a single dad with his child, and he did not have any resources. He did not know where to go. He was desperate. He was sitting across the desk from me, desperate. I was trying to help him get a job, but he's worried about, where am I going to sleep tonight? Where am I going to eat? How am I going to feed my child? You know, it was a lot of basic needs that he didn't know.
Yeah, and you know, Ellen, we've talked about this on the show before when we do shows about homelessness. Mm-hmm. You know, when people have to come up with first, last, and security, that's usually for a decent place nowadays is about $3,000.
That's if they can pass the background right. check and the credit check and all of the other checks that go along with it, mm-hmm. which a lot of folks, unfortunately, that fall on hard times, the credit check is what gets them
right.
a lot of times. And then there might be more extra security deposit to be put down because they seem to be a higher.
So they're set up to fail, really. And that's where, right? And that's why it's so important that, you know, we all support Eckerd Connects. You guys believe in second chances.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you give the second chances. And I know they do things for academic and educational assistance. You guys help people with their life skills and self-sufficiency training, mental health and substance abuse treatment. You guys do a lot of stuff. So this is probably why they changed the name from Eckerd Kids to Eckerd Connects. So tell us about some of the other programs that Eckerd Connects offers.
That's right. We don't only help children. That's kind of something a lot of people were thinking when they thought of our name. But we did change it so everybody would know that we are there for anyone. So we do have a lot of local programs here in Brevard. The one that we're best known for, I would say, would be our housing program. And that is a housing program that provides financial assistance to people that are experiencing homelessness and have a self-reported substance use, misuse history. And it's all confidential. We only ask that question in order to determine their eligibility for the funding for our program. And it's all self-reported. No one has to provide any written documentation from a counselor or a clinic in order to qualify.
So you're giving them an opportunity to succeed.
Correct.
Which is a mission of Eckerd Connects, is to help families and people succeed in life. And, you know, sometimes you think about life, right? And people say, oh, how are you? I say, oh, I'm just living. Some will say, I'm just surviving. There is such a difference between living and surviving. Surviving is like what Ellen was saying. You may want to pay your rent, but you don't have money. You don't have a warm bed. You don't have a car. You don't have insurance. I mean, everything is hand in hand.
Yeah.
You have everything, you have to have it. How can you get a job if you don't have a car and you can't pay insurance?
Right.
Exactly.
How can you even, where would you put a car if you don't have a home? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what you were saying about that family, that man who was sitting across from you. So what happens in a case like that with a gentleman, like that gentleman who's sitting in that chair and knowing that he does not know where his next meal is coming from? How does Eckerd Connects step in and help someone like that?
Right. So we have a lot of families in that same situation. calling us for assistance. So like I mentioned, we do have the housing program to pay for first month's rent, last month's rent, and security deposit to help someone move into a place, because it is hard to save up money for a deposit when, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck, night to night in a hotel, or, you know, whatever the situation may be. And actually, most of our clients are working as well. They have full-time jobs. They are getting to work every day, even without having somewhere to sleep the night before. And they are bringing their children to school every day. And that's another program that we help support with as well. We have the Students in Transition program. And that program is in all of our Brevard public schools, and it's actually supported by a federal program called the McKinney-Vento Act. And there are certain entitlements that these students are entitled to under the law. Every public school does have a homeless liaison that is designated to be present at that school, providing these services for students. And the focus for that is to help them maintain academic success while they're going through this transition of being homeless, make sure they're getting to school every day. We support that with providing a school bus to take them wherever they're staying that night back to their home school, instead of having to disrupt them and move them to another school that's closer by wherever they're staying. Because studies have shown that students that are disrupted with their school, every time they change schools, it sets them back 6 months with academic progress. So we don't want to do that. It's more trauma caused to the child as well. So anytime we can support the family with keeping that student in the same school that they're used to going to, same friends, same classes, some routine, some stability in their life, we want to do everything we can to make sure we can do that.
Right, and you all do a lot of community outreach as well, by providing resources for people who are having issues with prescription drugs.
Yes.
So do you do that, or somebody else goes out and do that?
Yes, that's me.
Okay.
So I'm the community resources manager for opioid misuse prevention. So I go to do community outreach events around the community. You might have seen me out there. Last weekend we were at the Kicking It for Hope event. It was for the No Bad Days Foundation over at the Vieira baseball fields. They were raising money to support children who have disabilities and their parents cannot afford to buy them medical equipment. So we were out there supporting them there. But we also go around to health fairs, school events, you know, wherever there's a community that needs to know about our message. And I have flyers that I promote with prescription take-back locations that are open year-round.
I bet you get a lot of questions at these events.
Yes.
And you probably have to explain to people what are opioids. And, you know, people just don't wake up one day and decide, I'm going to get hooked on opioids. Sometimes it's from surgery, sometimes it's passed on from mother to child. I mean, sometimes it's just people having the difficulty of facing life and its hardships and all that it brings. No one wants to be hooked on opioids.
Right, yes. They are highly addictive. So what I usually start off with telling people, the general public, you know, is that addiction can develop as quickly as 5 days. So, you know, you get injured, you go to the hospital, they prescribe you hydrocodone or oxycodone, you start taking it, and after 5 days
you become addicted. I see it a lot in nursing. I mean, it's amazing, like,
and
people,
it's innocent, it's just like everything else, it's just, it creeps up on you,
right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you also teach people about other methods to get off of opioid addiction, which things like yoga, meditation, exercising, I mean, those things work as well. But not everybody have the same mind. You know, not everybody thinks the same way. Not everybody can cope the same way as well, right. You know?
Right. So we do have resources that we refer people to for treatment and alternative therapies. So there are local resources here in the county that I refer to. We have residential treatment. We have outpatient programs, recovery support systems. Services, intensive outpatient programs, inpatient rehab services, detox services, and support groups.
Yes, Brevard is really good about that. So I'm sure, like all the other nonprofits in town and organizations, you're always looking for people who can donate time, energy, a little change. Tell us what we can do as a community to help ECHOD Connects.
Yes, absolutely. So as far as my initiative, I am focused on our two our two campaigns right now for the opioid prevention message. One of them is I Choose Me, and that's our youth initiative. So anytime if we can get some youth involvement with the schools, maybe youth groups, youth leadership groups that are interested in promoting this and empowering others, you know, that's one thing that we're looking at. Another one is our adult messaging, which is the use only as directed messaging. So we want to just make sure people know where to dispose of their leftover medications when they're done with them and not just leave them in their medicine cabinet, because that's actually the number one way that medications are misused. So we want to encourage them to dispose of those properly and as soon as possible. For more information on where to drop off these medications, people can go to our website, which is brevardprevention.org.
Yeah, we just want to tell our listeners who we're speaking with. We're speaking with Jennifer Reeves, and she's the Community Resource Manager, Manager for Eckerd Connects. And, you know, what I like about Eckerd Connects is you guys are really passionate about saving Brevard's children from neglect, addiction, and homelessness. You all do put value in every single child. You just don't say it. You act on it. And you all are having a huge gala on the 22nd of February,
yes,
is it?
Yes.
So tell our listeners a little bit, if you can, about the date and the time and the place, and why they should attend a gala to support Eckerd Kids.
Yes.
Eckerd Connects.
Yes, Eckerd Connects.
Yes.
Yes. So it's anyone is invited. Our tickets are $150 each, and you can go to our website to purchase on Eckerd, E-C-K-E-R-D. .org, and it is on February 22nd from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., maybe 10 p.m., depending. And it's a red carpet, black tie, formal dress affair, and we have dinner served and entertainment. And the funds that we raise there go towards supporting our local programs. They go directly to all of our local programs. So we have our prevention programs in the elementary schools and the alternative learning centers. We have our housing program, and we also have our supervised visitation programs.
And you guys do a lot with helping people with transportation. I noticed that Eckerd will help. Do they help the children, besides from, they take them to the schools, and do they help the parents as well if they need to get from one point to the next? They give them some money, and they could help that way.
Well, transportation is always an issue, especially here in Brevard County, as we all know. Clients that are in our housing program, they do have, there is a component where there's case management, and they do have a case manager that helps them with additional services.
Yes.
Sometimes transportation could be part of that, but it's very limited.
But you do help the kids to get to the schools.
We do, yes.
Right. And then what happens when the kids come home from school? I guess you just drop them off wherever they're staying for that night. Which I guess it could be heartbreaking.
Right, and it could be, you know, there's also delays sometimes with the school bus. So it's not an easy or a fun
task.
Yeah.
So we how much time we have left, Ellen? We have
a little bit. 10 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful, we do. Oh, that's great. So where can people go if they want to get help and treatment and resources? You have a website, and you also have a physical office as well.
Correct.
So tell our listeners a little bit about, because there are so many people who are hurting right now in Brevard, in surrounding areas, in the state of Florida. We were just talking with Madeline and Garrett about how many children, over 300,000 children, don't have health insurance.
Right.
Where can people find you guys?
Yes. And going off of that, there are actually, as far as I know, the latest stats, there was over 2,500 students that are registered as in transition in the Brevard Public Schools right now. So there's over 2,500 students that are experiencing homelessness in our county right now.
Right. And where can they find you? Do they call or just go on a website and send
yes.
a message?
So they can go to our website, which is www.eckerd.org, or they can send me an email directly, which is jreeves, that's J-R-E-A-V-E-S, @eckerd.org.
Yeah, and you know, for our listeners who are tuning in, at any given time, people can fall upon hard times, whether it's a divorce, a shattered family, custody battles, incarceration, addiction, homelessness, overdoses, and yes, some families have to cope with suicide as well. I mean, these are things, tragic events that happens in people's lives that you don't know who you're going to need. So I think it's important, while we have functioning jobs and we're able to help the community, that we do it. Because it might be your turn next, that they're turning around to help. Because I've known women who were married and had really great lives, and then something happened and there's a divorce. And who suffers the most when there's a divorce? Sometimes it's a woman and the children, correct?
That's right.
I mean, so they need to understand that. And when you're able to give back your time, your energy, your effort, don't look down on people. They always talk about pulling people up by the bootstraps, but give them a pair of boot first.
Yes.
Right? And
yes,
then you could have pull it up.
Great point.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you
absolutely.
So tell us, so tell our listeners where they can find, where's the office? It's here on US 1, isn't it?
Yes, we have two offices. We have one in Rockledge, which is off US 1 and Barnes. And we have another one in Melbourne, which is off Sarno and Wickham. And I did want to make an announcement, too, if I could.
Yes.
About some upcoming events that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we are planning a Shatter the Myths event on April 1st. And it's going to be an interactive event targeted towards middle high schoolers in the county. And we'll have educational booths and activities with different drug categories for them to get knowledgeable about. We'll have speakers there, and we'll be serving dinner as well.
What time is the event?
We don't have a time yet, but we're thinking about 5:30.
Well, that would be good. Ellen would post that on the website
too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know. I mean, it's all about education, right? Because so many people, they hear the word opioid and they turn away.
Right.
They
so
shouldn't.
We want to remove that stigma, get people talking about it. I am looking for a location to host this event right now. So if any of your listeners are interested in partnering with me to provide a location, that would be wonderful. They could email me. Again, my email is jreeves@eckerd.org.
And preferably a place that you don't have to pay for it, because all that proceeds will go towards helping the families.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you go to these events and people come up to you, what are typically some of the questions they ask you?
Yes, I have to say I've been surprised
mm-hmm.
by a couple questions and saddened by most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone in a medical clinic, a laboratory I was visiting one time. She was looking at the flyer that I was giving her, and she said, "Is ibuprofen 800 an opioid?" And it's not. You know, it's a strong painkiller, but it's not an opioid. An opioid is like hydrocodone, oxycodone, morphine, fentanyl. But it
OxyContin.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
But it was shocking to me that someone in the medical field would think that an ibuprofen 800 was an opioid. So it just goes to show you how important it is to keep spreading this message out.
So how can the community, people like Ellen and myself and our friends and our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how can we help the community to get involved and support Eckerd Connects?
Well, that would be great if you could have anyone who's interested in maybe partnering with me to do an event. I would love to have anyone contact me for that. I'm always looking for new partnerships, new networking possibilities. So I welcome anyone who would like to partner with me.
You know, Ellen, that's why our show does so well here on WWBC on AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7, because we do go out in the community and find people who are doing things to help not just the families and the children, but the teenagers too, and give them the information.
Well, it's all about resources, you know, and that's the nice thing about Eckerd Connects especially, is that if you're not the one to get the resources, you know who to call. And it's still a one call.
That's
that
right.
you call up, and even if you're not the ones, then you know the resources to get to the next place.
Right.
You know, like 211 has been for Brevard County as well, to try and provide resources and so forth. But it's about education. And of course, knowing and feeling confident in the fact that you can ask for help. And there are people that are out there that
right.
are willing
and nobody's
and wanting.
Gonna look down at you and make you feel ashamed of your circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, every family, every child deserves a seat at the table.
That's right.
And however you get to that table, it's A-OK. But there are people in a community like Jennifer Reeves and our friend Stanley breeds who care so much about what's happening. And people should make that call. They should not be afraid to call. What's the phone number for Echo Connects?
Well, if you're interested in our housing program, the housing number is 321-735-7249.
Yeah, and there's so many people that can't afford a home or rent because the rent is so high. Are you seeing anyone in the community coming forward to help and say, listen, we've got X amount of apartments and we can rent them at a lower price to help the people? Are you all having Good Samaritans come on, or businesses, anybody like that?
Well, if we have, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, but people should, though.
But that would be great. Yeah, if we had more landlords come forward to be willing to partner with us, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, because that seems to be the number one thing. I mean, if you have a stable home, whether you own it or you rent, that's the key to the foundation for everything, isn't it?
That's right.
I know we were all shaking our heads when Madeline was talking, too, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, we absolutely.
When one person does well, it affects the whole community, you know? So about the gala, tell our listeners one more time where it's going to be held, because I know that, are you guys doing well on those tickets right now? I bet it's already sold out.
I think we still have tickets available,
okay,
as far as I know.
But yeah, but that event always sells out. Like all the Echo Connect events always sell out.
But it will be at the Space Coast Association of Realtors on Pineda in Wickham.
Right, and you do need people who can volunteer their time, their talent, because these people are actually like treasures, and all organizations here need them in Brevard.
Yes.
But based on what you all do, and we've seen the results, I've seen the videos of the families that's been helped by Eckert. Actually, I got an award from them last year for helping the community as well. And it moves you to tears to see people who were once thrown away and cast aside by their friends and family. They become friends and family of Eckert Connects, and they go on to do great things, graduate from college, raise their kids, pay taxes, and do everything that we all want to do.
Right.
It's just that they've had hard times, right?
So if you want information about foster and adoption, community programs, caring for children, prevention services, workforce development, or juvenile justice services, all of those pieces are in there, as well as what Jennifer spoke about with the housing.
Yeah, and I like that Jennifer is going out into a community and teaching people about the dangers of opioids.
Yes.
And she's not just doing that, she's acting upon it and sending them places where they can get treatment for substance abuse. So, Jennifer, thank you for coming on the show. And give your name and your website one more time, or your phone number, how people can connect with you. How they can connect with you through Eckert Connects.
Jennifer Reeves, Community Resources Manager at Eckert Connects. Phone number is 321-735-7249. And email is jreeves, J-R-E-A-V-E-S, at Eckert, Eckerd.org.
And thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much to Madeline and to Garrick for calling in about the Children's Move It and supplying us great information about that as well.
I know, you're still amazed about that.
I'm still amazed because I keep looking at the website and I keep finding new things that are on here. So, but once again, another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Sita, thank you so much. And we will see you next week, folks, here live on 1510 WWBC.
And attend a gala.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.